Welcome to a second season of this here Thriving Moment, brought to you from a ministry onto its own, the Sovereign Light Talk Show, and live from Belize, Central America. I am your hostess, Reverend Maria Arvanitides. With us here today, a very special guest from Guacamayo, Scarlet Macaw, Cayo District, San Ignacio, Central America, Belize, David Antonio Simpson. Welcome to the show. David Anthony Simpson. Now, David Anthony Simpson has his own tour guide,
tour company,
and here we go. Let's start chatting and tell me more about yourself. Like, first off, let's get warmed up a little bit. What's your favorite color?
Well, my favorite color is blue.
I thought you would say that.
Well, my favorite color is blue.
I love
blue because blue is part of peace. It's part of love. And it's part of we as a nation have always respected our nationality as a peaceful country. So blue represents peace. Blue represents one of the most elegant colors. Well, like, everybody has their own choice, but for me it's mainly where blue is very much my color, okay? And it suits my skin as well.
So blue is your favorite color?
Yes, blue is my favorite color.
So what I find is a lot of us have a hard time in life fitting in, is because the very rare of us, the original authentic ones of us, are actually working from the inside out. We're real. A lot of people are working from the outside in. This whole world is about the outside in. But what we find as inner beings who work from the inside out is all these matrices, all these mirrors, and they're not real. There's a lot of background people. And it's like a lot of us now are starting to come together, the real ones, the ones who have already started this mission to be working from the inside out and creating new earth, like me and David Anthony Simpson over here. And and already he's given this to us, that his favorite color is blue, and so it is. And red seems to be the one that's the outward one, and blue is always the inward, going inward.
That's right.
When we're breathing in and then breathing out.
That's true. The blue is, it's just a magical color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the primary colors.
Exactly. So. And our heart actually is always feeling blue, you know what I'm saying? So that means we're always jovial.
Yeah,
that's very important.
I think, yeah, because that's what's important, is that we're doing our inner work.
That's right.
We're doing our spiritual work. We're not doing the cheating 3.5, give me something artificial, even with the sensations that we feel, our state of being, breathing. You know, all these things that we learn to regulate parasympathetically and sympathetically with our nervous system. And it all is to do with breathing and our inner, our inner sanctuary, as the Bible even says, the kingdom of God is found from within.
It's not like
trying to build churches and making it all like bling bling. What is that? I forget now. You know, superficial, you know, so there's depth. And the other thing is let's say your birthday, if you were to have a birthday and a big celebration, what would the theme be? Like, what would you prefer people, what to see them in, what color, and what, how would you see them dressed for a big occasion to celebrate your life?
Well, as I said, everybody has their own color that suits them. And for me, I would like them to come dressed in the color that suits them, so it will be more colorful. It's going to be like a rainbow, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So you just can't think about yourself. You got to appreciate the other colors that other people love. Okay, so... Yes, Papa. No, right now. So these are just some of the things where we have to learn to appreciate, accept in every way and all, like I would say, in every respect, respect the human next to us, because at the end of the day, we all have our own likes, dislikes, but at the same time, every like is well liked, because every head is a different world, and every body, every human is born under a different horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, again, we have to understand that people with different horoscopes, they will have different colors of their own. But if I was to have like a big celebration,
mm-hmm.
for me it would be fun if they came in their own color, so it's going to look more beautiful, more colorful. And we're going to be looking like a rainbow, okay? So, I mean, when you put red, blue, green, yellow, pink, just name it. It's all, it makes sense that the world is complete. And so in that way, nobody feels left out or subjected to, oh, you got to dress in a certain way to suit me. It's like when people die, most people expect that you go in a dark clothing. I mean, it's just crazy idea. A dead cannot see you. You know what I'm saying? So you dress in your manner that you can afford to dress and make it look colorful. Because even the dead likes colorful stuff. So I think I would be preferring that everybody comes to my gathering in their own color, okay?
Okay, sounds good. And the theme, what would be the best thing? Like, do you like flowers? Like, what do you like?
Well, actually, I'm a guy who loves lots of fruits.
Good.
I love lots of fruits, and I even grow my own food. So, I try to live a life that I was taught as a kid to grow your own food, plant it, see it grow, nourish it, and you can harvest from it. And we are what we eat. So I personally, I have been living a life of dealing close to nature as I can, respecting the earth, living from the earth. We are all earth. When people think that they're better than someone, we're not better than no one. We're just a bunch of earth that's walking, breathing, because everything that we eat comes from the earth. If you eat a pineapple, it was grown in the earth. If you eat corn, it was grown in the earth. If you eat mangoes, avocados, whatever we consume actually came direct from the earth. So the earth is actually something that we should protect, respect, and cherish at the same time. Because the more we poison the earth, the less human existence is going to be. So we should learn to live and love the earth that we lived on and protect it as much as we can. That's very, very, very important. But most humans are so egoistic. Most humans want to be this life, commercial life. And being that we are almost overpopulated, now they start processing food that's making humans short life. If you were to live 100 years, you're going to live 70, because the food you ate that was processed actually killed you. So if we stick to our earth, live off the earth, appreciate the earth, we're going to live all the days that were numbered to us by God who created us, okay? So earth is very, very important. And that's one of our priorities. Preserve the earth in the sense that don't cut down the trees unless you're going to grow some food, because it's oxygen that we need to make our blood flow in our system. And if we don't have oxygen, we at the same time are committing suicide. So I think it's better that we realize the value of the earth we live on. And then we will respect others around us as well, okay?
Okay, David, tell me more about how you came to be on this earth. Like, you were born the year, what, 1958?
Well, David comes from three genetic backgrounds. My mom is Mayan. My dad is African background, brought from Jamaica through his parents. My great-grandmother's dad was Mexican or Aztec. So I have three genes in my system. And actually, I am one of the fewer guys who was raised in the era where there was not much modern technology. So I was raised in the era where everything was done from the artistic way, from the educational way the Mayans did it. So I was born in 1959, the 3rd of August, in this town, which is San Ignacio town. It's one of the biggest towns in the Cayo district. And I come from, like I said, a Mayan mom and an African dad. So I am an Afro-Mayan. That's my genetic background. Like, Creole is a mixture of European slave master with slave women. That's Creole, but I'm not a Creole. I'm an Afro-Mayan, African descent with Mayan heritage. So actually, I'm a true son of this soil I'm living on. My life was raised part of in San Ignacio town, where I had to attend to the school. But half of my life was raised in the jungle where I came from, which we call it jungle, but it's up on the river banks of the Macal River. So that's where I grew up. That's where we grew all of our own food. But for schooling, we had to come to San Ignacio Tong to get a better education. At the age of 18, I graduated from high school. Then I went to college. Then I carried on to become a teacher for 9 years. So I'm a certified trained teacher. First, I had to go through the training for many years. I then got a scholarship that took me to what we call Belcast, which at the time was named Belize Teachers College. After 9 years of working as a teacher, I retired from teaching and went back to live on my dad's property, which actually sits a big unexcavated Mayan site. So at the moment, I am doing tours, but the tour came later on in my time. So after the teaching came the tour guiding. But at the same time, I have centered most of my life living in the woods where I live. And the place is named El Guacamayo Ruins, or El Guacamayo Mayan site. And there is where I grow all my food. I have a business in town, or a little office that is on Savannah Street, right in San Ignacio, right next to the market. And there you can find me most of the time. Otherwise, I'm on a tour. But my tour company started in 1987, when I explored the biggest cave in Belize, which is the Barton Creek Cave. One of the most fascinating caving system, and the only access to this cave is with a canoe. So that's what had made me popular, and so I am enlisted in all the guidebooks. You can look me up in the Rough Guide, you can look me up in the Lonely Planet, you can look me up in Belize, you can look me up just wherever there is a guidebook about Belize, and you're gonna find David's Adventure tours, which I'm still operating. And being a teacher, I also had to educate myself about the geology of the cave that I explored. So my tours are educational. I take you on a half day tour, but I take you to the underworld where you learn geology, you learn the usage of the cave by the Mayans, and at the same time you learn how to respect the Mayan underworld. So presently I'm at the heart of San Ignacio, still conducting tours, and I do tours not only to the caves, but I also do tours to Mayan sites. I live on the river, as I mentioned, and I give a jungle tour, and also I float down the river to San Ignacio. So if anybody wants to come and join David at some point in time, you're more than welcome. I'm easygoing. I'm just one of the pioneers to this industry, and so I have been guiding for at least 30 years, okay? So if you're looking for someone with encyclopedia brains, you can look me up. I'm right here to offer you my knowledge. Okay? All right.
So, David, tell me more about your life. You have children. You got married in 1988 after you started your adventure tours. And then just, can you take it from there?
Well, yes, I was married for 3 years, but my wedding didn't last too long. I met this woman from down south, and we got married. She was a teacher as myself, but I don't own anything in the south, so I had to move on to San Ignacio, where, as I mentioned, I'm actually the caretaker of an unexcavated Mayan site, which is named El Guacamayo Mayan Temples. And back to where we started. Yeah, my life has been where I have spent most of my life in the woods. I started El Guacamayo Jungle Campground, where you can spend a night in the woods, you can spend a night on a Mayan site, and you can wake up with all the birds you want to think about in your lifetime. The place, I actually developed it to where you can I can accommodate guests. And also at the same time, I live a Mayan way of life. I still use wood to cook my food. I still do the water from the river. I also collect the water from the rain. And what I feed to myself and my guests actually is grown on the property. So most people that come and stay by David is because the food that I offer is all organic food. And organic food is a big advantage because it makes your life a lot easier, healthier, and so you appreciate the earth, as I was talking to you earlier. And my life has been very, very easy. So from my campground to my business place to the cave and the other sites, and I end up every day back to my jungle where I get back my energy. So my place is not only a gym, because I live on a big Mayan site, and to get up to where I live, you got to climb 187 steps. So actually, my steps are my gym, and my steps are gym for tourists who come over to my place to visit. I am a lover of birds. So where I live, I have so many species of birds, and that's what attracts tourists to come over to me, and even locals. So if you guys are looking for a place where you want to be listening to melodious music from the birds, then I have the correct place for it. My life has been so good, and I hadn't had much bad experience in my time. I've always done positive, and even within the teaching that I did, everybody still appreciates me. I also played soccer for a while, which was one of my favorite sports. And that, again, is part of why I'm well known in San Ignacio Tong because of my sportsmanship. I was a very, very good soccer player. And so that brought me a little fame. And also, being nice to people, appreciating people and caring for people, that has also brought me another feather in my hat. So in my hometown, everyone, almost 90% of the people in San Ignacio, knows David. And they know me as a tour guide, they know me as a jungle man, and they know me as a river man. So if you come into the town and you ask for David, you just got to say which David, and they say, oh, David from David's Tours, and they will give you directions. Even if I had an enemy, he would still direct you to where my place is, okay? So David has done a lot for his country, and I'm still going to keep doing more as long as I have life and health. So this, what we're talking about, is part of my history, part of my life, where everyone in this town appreciates my presence, my knowledge, and also the good things that I have done in training other tour guides to become professional. And so I feel proud of myself. I feel proud of doing all this for the benefit of the next generation that's coming afterwards, okay?
Yes. Now, you came from, like you're saying, a lot of people know you in this town. Now, you came from San Antonio, from a family of how many brothers and sisters now? 11, you were saying?
Yeah, I come from a big family, a soccer team, 11 of us. You see, in those days, my parents, they had healthy food. They ate organic food. So every time they went to bed and they played, there was another kid coming every year, so that's the advantage of eating healthy, and we are all healthy kids still up at this point. So kids live as long as they had a good start, just like a plant. If you have a small plant, and from the very get-go it wasn't well done, that plant won't live too long. So in our time, I mean, you can imagine being my age and still feeling young, okay?
So how many, you're talking about children here, how many exactly do you have sown your seed?
Well, I have like maybe, I'm not sure, okay? Because if you have to go according to what you're told. But at the moment, I consider myself being the owner of 6 kids.
Oh my!
So, but they always look after me too. They come visit me, and so I share the love with my kids. Okay.
And you also have grandchildren.
And I also have 4 grandchildren. So I'm a rich guy when it comes to grandkids.
Yes.
And I'm still feeling good, as young as I had been in the past, and I think that all goes back to the food that we eat and the life that I'm living. So, I'm the guy who looks after my health. I don't cheat myself with sleep. I get my 8-hour sleep. And like I said, I grow my own food. So, I know that there's no chemicals inside my body from the food I eat. Except if I go eat somewhere else, then I don't know what I got. So, I try not to do that. I try to take care of my own meals. And most of it is fruits and vegetables. So that's why I'm still looking the way I'm looking, all right?
So you were married from 1988 to 1990?
No, in 1987 is when I knew about the cave.
Okay.
And I did research for 3 years. So in 1990 is when I introduced it to the tourism industry. I was married in 78. 79, 80, 81. That was how long it lasted. So I got married very young.
Oh, where I'm getting at is your children.
My children, they're already in their 30s.
Wow.
Yeah, so My children are in their 30s and...
Okay, so, that explains that you're a grandfather. I was thinking, how did that work in the 90s that you did that?
No, I started young.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so now getting back into your company, you've been doing this for 30 years. How is it that someone could go about getting a license, and how does the licensing thing work around here?
Well, before there was any licensing, I was already doing tours. Before the Belize Tourist Board, I was already conducting tours on the river. As I mentioned, I did not introduce the cave until 1990, and the Belize Tourist Board started in 1991.
Okay.
So before them, we were not actually trained at no point. They would just go and take someone out on a tour, and the tourists would more or less teach you from the way they had been in other places, and you learn from the tourists. Now, in a little after 1991, the Belize Tourist Board wrote a curriculum that authorized them to give us a course for tour guides who are interested in educating themselves. So there are 12 courses that the Belize Tourist Board offers. You take that course, if you're successful, you get a license as a tour guide. So to become a tour guide, you got to take a course that's given to the Belizeans by the Belize Tourist Board. So at the moment, we don't only have Belizeans as guides. We have American guides, we have Guatemalan guides, we have Dutch guides, we have German guides, so just name it. As long as you're a native or you are a nationalized Belizean, you're authorized to take the course, and then you become a tour guide. And so you can work freely, and at the same time, the association that you belong to protects the tourists as well. So being a tour guide, the tourists feel more secure. You have an entity that you could go and complain to if the tour guides were not very courteous or they didn't do a good job. You have the Belize Tourist Board you can complain to. So in a way, it is to protect the benefit of the tourists and the welfare of foreigners coming to my country so that they don't go back with a bad taste of Belize, okay? So that was the purpose of giving tour guide license to the guides, so that they could actually promote Belize in a very respectful manner.
Okay, and this place that we're at right now, this is your place of business,
yes,
where people can come. And is there, like, what is the property tax like, and how do you feel about it? And can you explain to people what it means to be a sovereign light being?
Well, here in San Ignacio, they charge you according to the places where you own. Well, this property, I bought it from my cousin. That's like almost 30 years ago. My cousin got it from the councilor or the mayor in San Ignacio, which was at the time Mr. Orlando Habet. And I have been occupying this place for all these years. I pay a trade license to the government for my business, but for license or trade or property tax, I haven't been paying, because actually Belize is and was owned by our ancestry, the slaves who fought for this land. They were the slaves who were abandoned at the mouth of the Belize River by the British subjects or the British slave masters. And so by right, I have all rights to be occupying a piece of this jewelry that our slave masters fought for us. And this was in 1798, the 10th of September. So this land tax business is something new that they have invented to live off the poor, because the rich in my country don't pay taxes. The rich in my country take as much land and they never pay taxes. So it's just a stuff that's being implemented on the poor and those that are needy, and that is the reason why I always defend myself and I always defend my land. That this land belongs to us. Ancestral background, I'm from that of a slave. So my slave grandparents were the ones who fought off the Spaniards in the 10th of September 1798, and that is why we celebrate the Battle of St. George's Key, where they won the war, and so we were able to acquire what is now Belize to live on. So this tax business is a British thing that was implemented after the British came back and found out that the slaves were not dead, because the British left the slaves to their own mercy, and so the slaves had to fight back many times the Spaniards to be able to own what is now Belize. And so I feel proud of being part of this heritage, and I don't see the reason why I have to pay for no land tax. When I'm dead and gone, the land gonna be here, somebody else gonna be occupying it. And this is why I want the Belizeans to understand, to know your rights, know what belongs to you, and know what you should be paying for on this earth. Otherwise, you will forever be enslaved mentally, physically, because we don't carry anything when we die. The land we lived on was earned by the slaves who were abandoned. So I want people to understand that we have a right to live on a land that's called Land of the Free by the Carib Sea, okay? All right.
And you were saying something about tick lice, or something you were saying about, what was it now?
Oh, the politics, yeah, politics. Here in Belize, we have two parties that dominate the country. We have the People's United Party and the United Democratic Party. But the real meaning of politics, like what the Latin word says, poly, is a Latin word, means many, and ticks, bloodsuckers. So for me, the true meaning of politics is bloodsuckers. They suck from the poor. They don't go suck from the rich. So politicians, it's time for you to understand what you have been doing to this nation, sucking blood from the poor. And I know it doesn't suit you to listen to what I'm saying, but it's time that you learn that Belize needs to be free from people like you who have no future for this nation except for your personal benefits. So get the real sense of the meaning, politics. We all know what ticks do, and we know what all poly means. So if you fit in that category, it's your luck. And if you don't fit in that category, it's as well your luck. So for the politicians who are governing or actually harming this country, it's time that you make the people free. Thank you.
So how do you feel about the sovereignty and your light as a being, and in the sense of having self-governance, and for everybody to get along without this kind of economy that we become enslaved, you know?
Well, as I said earlier, if the Belizeans would know their right and be independent, you would not be depending on no one to feed you. That's the thing I'm trying to tell you, that each Belizean is entitled to a piece of land to live on, to grow his food. And that is why I'm telling them to go get yourself what belongs to you and stop being dependent on someone feeding you. If you realize what's happened from the time Belize has come to what it is now, Belize has changed drastically. Belize was owned by the Belizeans. Now Belize is owned by foreigners, and this all came about because of the politicians who have wrecked this country to where it is at the present moment. Our economy is so bad that cost of living in this country it's become so intense, so harsh, that only the politicians can live a luxurious life. That's all it takes of a human to have common sense, and you will know what rightfully belongs to you and what role you are playing in this country, okay?
That's great, David.
Well, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's facts that people need to understand that if you will forever be taking advantage, you will never be a happy person. You will just be like a robot. People here are like robots. They don't understand it's a free country. Even the national anthem tells you, land of the free by the Carib Sea. Our father, the Baymen, valiant and bold, drove back the invaders. This heritage hold from proud Rio Hondo to Old Stars Tune, through coral isles over blue lagoon. Keep watch of the angel, the stars, and the moon, for freedom comes tomorrow's noon. So Belizeans, don't take it so easy. Don't take it for granted. The national anthem is telling you, our fathers, the Baymen, valiant and bold, drove back the invaders. This heritage hold. Not for you to give it to the Chinese man, not for you to give it to the Indian man, not for you to give it to the foreigner. And this is what's happened, that the foreigners have come and taken over our country because of the so-called politicians, the bloodsuckers, the ones who care less about these people of this country, who only think about their own personal benefit. They think nothing about the benefit of a nation. Belize should have been one of the richest nations in the world. We own the Mayan heritage. We own so many Mayan sites. We should have the best museum. Where is it? Where are our artifacts? But we let legal looters come and take them to their university, and we have been tolerating this for many, many moons. And it's time that the younger people wake up and live. Otherwise, you will have nothing in store for you in the near future. And you can tell and let the politicians understand that it's time that you educate the Belizean people. It's time that the people know their rights. It's time that the people own something that belongs to them, that their ancestry, the forefathers, left. Not that the Chinese man comes and owns it. Because if the Chinese man don't open his store, Belizeans will starve, because there is no politician trying to help the Belizeans to own a piece of land to grow his and her food. Okay, so...
So what do you think about the colonization and of the king, the Spanish king that came here?
Well, when these people came, they were all pirates. They were all crooks. They came and chased away my ancestry, the Mayans, and they took their land. So there was no land, there was nobody to even bring them to justice. So it's been going on from since then. And so Belize became part of English subject, because the Spaniards and the British made an agreement to take logs that belonged to the Mayans back to Europe. And that is how I ended up in this part of Belize from the Negro side. My great-grandparents were brought from Jamaica. They were slaves. So I'm not afraid to know my history, and I'm not afraid to tell my history, because it wasn't no good, and that is why I end up with a surname of Simpson. A guy like me owning an English surname, so it definitely has a sad history, not a glorious history, and that is why the Belizeans should appreciate what the slaves did for them. So the colonialization has always and will forever be enslaving the people to their rights, enslaving the people's mentality, only educate them to a certain stage that they will still be fools. And that is why, like what Bob Marley says, stiff-necked fools, you think you are cool, but you are not cool. You are just taking advantage of the poor, stampeding the poor, and keeping them away from their rights.
Thank you for that question, because I was just going to ask it next. What would be your favorite quote and favorite saying? And you just said Bob Marley.
Yeah, they're stiff-necked fools. They think they are cool by suppressing the Belizean people and bull-crapping them or brainwashing them, doing all kind of thing, and let the Belizean know that they have no value. These politicians should be ashamed of themselves. The karma will come where they will die with certain diseases that not even the doctor will cure them, because their inner soul, their physical is rotten. Even their mentality is rotten.
Yeah, we're kind of disgusted in that situation. But let's take it on a positive note.
If the Belizeans decide to want to change this world, this what is their world, Belize, they can do it. All they got to do, they got to do like what the Bob says. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. We all know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter is gold. Half the story has never been told. Now you see the light. You gotta stand up for your right. Come on, get up, stand up. And that's what each Belizean have to learn. They got a right to get up and stand up. They don't need nobody to tell them when to get up, when to stand up, when to lie down, when... No, we are humans. We have a right. Okay?
So whenever you're ready, we can begin the tour.
We're about to go.
And also, being a medicine man that you are, I see you as a great shaman myself. This is how I see you. David is going to take us on a tour through his property. He's going to show us some really amazing treats that we can find in nature that we can actually eat and do things with, right?
Yes, right.
And we're also going to go caving into the great Barton Creek Cave,
Biggest, most beautiful, most spectacular, most fascinating. All the words that's most beautiful suits the most wonderful, wonderful underworld treasure.
So enjoy the movie, folks, and we'll see you there.
Okay. Have a nice day.
Watching the Sovereign Light Talk Show. One segment, one of three, on this here season two, a very special opening. David Antonio Simpson and me, Reverend Maria R. Vanakidis. Bye-bye.